Never late than better. It's the news, according to me. Good afternoon. It is already 4 o'clock p.m., 4:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. July 14th, 2025, on a Monday. It's the first day of the week. Middle of the month. Middle of the summer. Middle of the year. First part of the century. We have first fourth of the century, I guess. First quarter. First quarter's up now. We're in the second quarter of the year. Of the century. Anyway. Greetings to all y'all of you. All y'all, as we say. Greetings to all y'all. I'm here. Late, as usual. On Monday. Just got back from camping, and our original plan was to stay just until Sunday. We're going to come home Sunday, and then we decided we could actually stay until Monday. So we left this morning. I've been home for a while, but we didn't get out of there right away. For those of you who are astute and have been learning about my vocal. Stuff, my vocal, things, your students of the vocal stuff, sound quality, vocal stuff. You will notice that there's something different about my voice, and it's because I have some kind of a cold I've come down with. It is, my sinuses are just nuts. Kind of came over me on, I think it was Saturday. Started feeling on Saturday, started getting a little sore throat. Sinuses started coughing a little bit because my sinuses were draining. Some kind of a sinus infection. And now, of course, the smoke, it didn't matter where I sat. I would change my seat where I was sitting, and the smoke from the fire would just immediately go towards wherever I was. One time I faked it out, though. I acted like I was going to move my chair, and I only moved it a couple inches. I picked it up and walked and kind of turned it around and I sat back down. And the smoke went in a different direction. I faked it out. It really happened. I really did that. I'm not kidding. That's no joke. I have, Biden, what was it with that guy? He would say something that was very serious. And these people were there that did this. No joke. We didn't think you were joking. Well, I'd hope you weren't joking about that. Why would you say no joke? And it's something that was so serious. That doesn't make any sense. And he does that all the time. And of course, now I'm not. Joe Biden's a thing of the past. Anyway, he's done. Just want to keep bringing it up. It's just weird stuff like that. Anyway, in my cup, I've already drank my chai for the day. In fact, I made a cup of iced chai, and I ended up having some leftover hot chai because the cup I put it with the hot chai. Usually what I do is I fill up a cup. I make my usual batch, a little bit stronger typically, of hot chai, a cup of hot chai. And then what I do is I put a little bit more creamer in there, a little bit more of my mix in there. My powdered Pacific Island chai is what I had this morning. Put that in there. And that's all I had in the camper. So I put that in there. And I make that cup of it, and then I fill up another cup with ice, a larger cup. Just fill it up with ice, and then I pour the hot cup into the cold cup to chill it. And by the time it's all, it melts some of the ice, and it's a little bit, it takes away some of the strength of the, I'll make it a little bit extra strong. It chills it right off, and then that makes my cold iced chai. Well, unfortunately, I had a little bit left. I had to drink hot chai with my cold chai. Now, it was not so hot this morning. It was, the temperature, the outside temperature wasn't so bad. I think when I first got up this morning, it was about 60 degrees. It's been a really hot weekend. It was really hot. It was miserably hot to the point where you just didn't want to do anything, which is another issue with my cold thing. Between that and the cold, it was a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I decided to take a, because we went Saturday, we left Saturday morning. We'd hoped to leave Friday night, but we couldn't. I had to work late. I think I got in actually at 1 o'clock in the morning. So the time I got home. We left the next day, Saturday morning, and I ended up, I took a nap on Sunday morning, and it was I don't remember ever sleeping that hard. Now, I hadn't taken any medicine. I didn't take any cold medicine. I thought I had taken some Alka-Seltzer Plus with me. I hadn't taken anything. And the one bag I usually take with me when I'm traveling, I didn't throw in the motorhome, and I don't know why I didn't. There's couple things I just didn't put in there. It's fine. I keep enough stuff in the motorhome that I can survive. It's tough, you know, but with the air conditioning and the water filtration system and everything else that thing has. But I got by. I suffered through it. All the food and everything we had to eat. A brother and sister and their spouses came up to the camp on Saturday night. We cooked some burgers. My uncle, we go up to this one place where my uncle camps once a month, and there's some other people up there that we've kind of become friends with, and they kind of have a group that they camp once a month with. So I happened to be off, so we were able to take the camper up and go. So this is the first time I've took my little puppy, my 90-pound puppy. He's 13 months old. Up to camp. It's his first attempt at camping. See how he would do. He absolutely loved it. In fact, he's been sleeping for about 4 hours since we've been home. He did so much stuff. He got to go swimming for the first time. I know he's been in the pool before. We take him to this place where there's daycare, and I actually had him do a pool session with him. And unfortunately, nobody was there when I went to pick him up. Nobody was there that could tell me how he did in the pool. I had no idea. And then they were like, "Oh, did he swim? Did he like it? Did he like the water? Did he about drown? Did anybody have to rescue? What happened with him? Did he walk on the water? Did he swim under? Did he dive down and pick up pearls from the bottom? I want to know what he did." Nobody knew. I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody. I don't know. Nobody. No report. Nothing. Well, thanks a lot for letting me, you know, fill me in on that. So I had no idea what he was going to do when he got in the water. So on Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, I guess it was, there was a bunch of kids at the lake, and didn't really feel comfortable taking the dog in there because there's too many kids playing around, and he was kind of freaked out by all the screaming kids. You know, you just tell he just wasn't too comfortable. But he did walk in. He walked right into up to his, shoulders. Right into the water. In fact, I had him on a leash, and if I wouldn't have had him on the leash, I'm pretty sure he would have just kept on going. But he did the next day. So yesterday morning, it was last night, because most of these campgrounds, everybody talks about how full campgrounds are right now, and it's I'll get to my stuff, the rest of my stuff here in a little bit. Most of the campgrounds right now are so packed you can't even get a space. That's normally on weekends. I'm finding that most of the weeks are open. If you're able to camp Monday through Friday, you can probably, unless it's a long weekend for some reason, but you can probably get a space. It's the weekends that are really full. Now, what has happened is after COVID, see, there were so many people that bought motorhomes and RVs, camping, paraphernalia over COVID. I think there was a 400% increase in camper sales, RV sales during that time. Now that has done weird things to the market now with regard to campers and RVs in general. I had purchased this motorhome right before COVID, the year before. I had purchased it in the fall. I think it was November. October or November of, I think it might have been October of 2019. I'm pretty sure that's when it was. In fact, it might have even been 2020. Because it was snowing. It had to have been at least November or December. Picked this thing up in Chicago. And it's an older one. It's right now. It's 30 years old, so it's not like it's a brand new thing. But it was top of the line back in its day. There's no slide outs or anything. It's before slide outs became a thing. Everybody's got slide outs and everything now. They got slide outs, and but pop up tent campers got slide outs. Hard to find anything that doesn't have slide outs. So this one does not have, which I'm kind of glad. It's just one more thing you got to fix. A 30-year-old camper with slide outs, just forget it. There's so much to keep. You know, you might as well just throw the thing in the trash. We had so I ended up buying this thing, and I didn't pay much money for it. The guy had it on Craigslist. It was, you know, I paid cash for it. I just made him an offer. He was like, okay, well. He took his money and he was out off the lot before I, you know, it happened to be at a car lot. It had nothing to do with car lot. He had like rented space there to keep it there. It wasn't at his house, and I bought the thing there. A little bit suspicious. However, he was pretty upfront with everything else. The title was good and everything. So I ended up taking off out of the parking lot. He was gone before I was. And I couldn't get the thing to shift out of first gear. They stayed in first gear all the time. So I hear I'm driving around in first gear, wouldn't shift. And it still to this day has shifting issues. However, got it over to a place that if it wouldn't have been snowing, the worst of it was a slushy kind of snow. So I'd go off into a parking lot somewhere. It wasn't like I could just crawl underneath the unit and try to figure. I called him right away. I said, hey, this thing's not shifting out of first gear. He said, well, it's probably a wire in the back or something. And it was just a wire, but it cost me $300-some to find the wire. I ended up finding this place that could work on it. They got it in right away and it got me going. They fixed it. They gave me the shock thing. And when I first, well, it could be this part and this part, and it could be that. And that transmission, it could be this part. And it's an Allison transmission. It's a Cummins diesel with Allison transmission. Spartan chassis. So I ended up, they ended up messing around with it. And guy gave me this shock thing, like it could cost, you know, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, fix this thing or whatever. Whatever it was, he told me. I can't remember. It was ridiculous. So I go, oh, great. So I ended up, coming back with this little thing where they just had to replace a wire. It was just a wire had broken or had been chewed off by a mouse or something. I don't know what happened, which is typical of RVs, especially when it's sitting a while. So I ended up, paying them the money, got the thing on the road, and it was running fine. It's still to this day though. It has these shifting issues, and I'm pretty sure it's either a shifting controller, like something that's processing the shifting stuff, or else. So I just replaced the turbo on it as well. The engine's running great. Starts right up, runs really good. There's something between the engine and the transmission's not happening right. I sent it to a technician last year. He's a guy who supposedly is. By the way, this is Mishmash Monday, so you're just going to get a mishmash of anything that's on my mind right now. So I sent it to the that's what you get for your, it's what you're paying for. And the so this guy ended up he had it for almost 2 months. And before that, I had another place for a month just getting, I had to have the air conditioner, the rear air conditioner, overhead air conditioners, the ones you plug into the main power when you're just sitting there, the coach conditioners, coach AC. So I had to work on the rear one. There was a wire. I was pretty sure it was just a wire that had been chewed someplace too on that thing. And he found it, redid that, but he had it for like 3 to 4 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks. Got it in and got it done, got it fixed, and then I took it right over from there. I took it right over to this other place that was supposed to work on the engine problem. I was having this issue with. I tried to take it out to. Well, I did. We did take it out to Virginia last year, and on the way out there, it started. It was really hot outside. It was a very hot weekend for traveling, and of course, the air conditioner quit working, and the chassis air conditioner, and we didn't have any. The main air conditioner in the backside, which two air conditioners, there was actually three with the count the chassis and AC. But anyway, had this thing going and ended up having, what am I looking at here? Oh. We ended up going over to this one place to get this facility to try to get it looked at because it was running weird. It was doing this thing where you go down the road, you're going 65, 70 miles an hour down the highway. And all of a sudden we just start slowing down. It was like it lost power. It's like, well, like almost like it took your foot off the gas, but it was just kept going. It's a diesel pusher, but it just slowed down. It didn't matter if I was going up a hill or down a hill. It didn't seem to matter. And I pulled the. I figured it was a fuel filter or something. It just did act like it was like a fuel, because it would slow down. And then after a little while, it would start speeding back up again, and everything seemed to be fine. And I thought, well, this is kind of odd. So when I got out there, I had trouble going through the mountains and stuff. We ended up on this weird road, trying to avoid the freeway because I didn't want to have to go fast. Thought, well, I can't go fast anyway. Might as well take the side roads and maybe shorter cut or whatever. But then I ended up in more mountainous terrain, and it was up and down and heating up the brakes and all kinds of stuff, which is fine. I can downshift. I can do all this stuff with the engine. So that wasn't a big deal, but it just took us forever. It took us an extra couple of hours to get there. And I ended up, this whole thing, I ended up changing the fuel filter when I got out there. I got a fuel filter for it. I got that changed. We got on the road. I thought, it's fixed. Because we were going like 20 miles an hour. Or 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes on the highway. Everything seemed to be fine. It was running fine. I thought, okay, that fixed the problem. And then all of a sudden, things started slowing down again. And it wasn't an abrupt slowdown. It was like a slow down kind of thing. It was over the course of a couple minutes. It would just keep slowing down, and there's nothing you could do. You had your foot to the floor, and it would just go down from 60 to like 40 miles an hour. Couldn't figure it out. Well, so I ended up getting this. Getting home, well, that's when I decided to take, you know, first I had to get the main air conditioner in the back fixed. And then I took it over to the chassis guy, the other guy who was supposed to fix the other issues, which was the shifting, whatever. He thought it was the transmission. It wasn't the transmission. It was the engine. In fact, turns out we ended up, he had it for almost 3 months. And it was over 2 months. It's into the fall. He gave it back to me, basically couldn't figure out what the problem was with the engine. He did some rewiring and some redoing some stuff with the with some of the relays and that kind of thing. He fixed the connection that goes from the air conditioner, the AC controls up front to the motor in the back, the compressor in the back. He did fix that. He got that working. However, the coil itself was shot. And he said, it's leaking all over the place. The coil itself is kind of messed up. Have to find a new one, you know, and basically the heat exchanger up in the front there, everything works up there for the, we have to find a new one of those, which I'm pretty sure is a standard gizmo. I'm pretty sure if I talk to Spartan, they could probably tell me where to get it. It's probably a GM product or something GM or Ford or something that I could just pick up off of something else, like a truck or something out of a junkyard somewhere. Or run a different, the hookups are all the same. The wiring hoses are all the same. I still might do that because I ended up buying a 12-volt independent system. It has its own little pump, runs on 12 volts. Instead of running off the engine belt system, it runs off of a 12-volt pump. I got that in there before we went on this little trip, but I can't get it to work. It's Chinese, and the wiring is, there's no really any wiring diagram. And I'm pretty sure there's one wire that I don't know exactly which one it's supposed to be on. Everything's labeled except for this one thing. And I'm pretty sure that this one wire, I had it wired up to the wrong thing, the wrong negative post. And I just need to put it on probably the negative post for the pump. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to mess around with it a little bit more and see if I can figure it out. But hopefully I didn't ruin anything. Probably did. And if we can get the other air conditioner fixed, that's fine. I can pull this one back out and put it on my tractor. I've got an enclosed backhoe, and that would be really nice to have air conditioning in that thing because it gets really hot in the summertime. If I had that air conditioner in there, boy, that would be an awesome way to, if I was going to do a job, big, long job. It does have a heater in it anyway, but so it doesn't have an air conditioner. So there you go. I got that going. Ended up getting back, from that trip, got that done, got the air conditioner fixed. He didn't do anything else. In fact, he couldn't figure out what the problem was with it. So this, I had it in storage, basically. I had it stored here in my house all winter long and thought, well, I just want to pull that thing out. So I had a suspicion that it was the, the vent tube going to the to the fuel tank. It's just the way it acted. It acted like, you know, it would drive about 20 minutes and it would start slowing down, like as it wasn't, like as if it was getting fuel starvation. I was convinced it was a fuel problem. And so I took it out. I got some other stuff done on the, I had a door I was working on the side. I couldn't really drive it with the door. There was a, has a basement in it. So it's got these little doors down the side, the undercarriage storage compartments. And this one door I had off because the hinge was all messed up. The way they did these hinges was stupid back then. It was just stupid. It was a great idea till it isn't. Till one of them goes wrong, and because they're all the same hinge, it's just one big trim piece, and they use that for the hinge for all the doors. It's stupid. It's a stupid design. It's innovative. It's you know, it's unique, and it's great while it lasts until things start, you know, changing. I'm not sure why my cat is meowing so much. That's kind of strange. It's actually very strange. So I ended up, but now she's on my lap all of a sudden. I think she just missed us. She's the one that had to leave one behind. The cats don't get along too well. Anyway, when we're on a trip like this. So we took one cat, left the other one home. And, she was the one that got left at home. Which made it more interesting. We took the rowdy cat. He's a little bit more mischievous than this one is. But I'm glad we got to take him with us. He did a good job. But he's just, you know, stirred up the dogs a little bit occasionally. They stir each other up. So anyway, this guy, you know, after all that work on it, I decided to drive it down the road. It's going to go fill the tank up. The tank hadn't been filled up for a while. So it went down, got gas in it, or got fuel in it. And it seemed to be running okay, and then on the way back, I thought it was, I left the fuel cap off. There's two fuel caps, one on each side for the tank, so you could fill it from either side. And I ended up leaving the fuel cap. Well, then it still did it again. After I got fuel, got in there, started doing it again, started slowing down. Started, okay, what is this? What's going on? So I just thought there was maybe a fuel regulation sensing thing. There's like a vacuum sensing fuel thing of some kind. I thought maybe that was having a problem. So I was trying to track the fuel lines down. Maybe there was a fuel line collapsing or something weird going on with the fuel system. But I'm going to track this all down, maybe replace the fuel lines, whatever I got to do. As I'm going back in there, I'm looking at the turbocharger. I'm looking, kind of trying to follow this this line back there. I'm just looking around at where stuff is mounted and where all these stuff is. Looking at the turbocharger. And I notice a crack in the turbocharger. And as I'm looking at it, I get back in there a little bit closer. It's really hard to kind of see really well. I got my phone out, took my camera, and I took a good picture of it, a couple pictures of it. And I realized, by the time I got some more pictures, I realized there is a crack. And it's coming apart. There's a big, huge crack in this thing. And in fact, it's splitting the cold side, the magnesium side. Not the hot side. The hot side is cast iron. That's not going to break. But the other side was coming apart. My guess is what was happening is it would run fine while when it was cold. And as it began to heat up, that bearing in there would probably just ended up seizing up. And then, of course, it would slow down and started to seize up. Just the turbo would just basically stop, which was more of a restriction than anything. And it just slowed down. And then it would speed up. After it cooled down, it would start spinning again, and it would start speeding up again. Because it would kind of go up to 55, 60, and then it would slow back down again very gradually. So I ended up taking it over to a shop. I told them I was pretty sure what was wrong with it. They did a look at it, and sure enough, they did this analysis thing, and sure enough, that's what it needed. So they got the parts and got everything done. I think it was about 2 weeks, and they actually had it done. A little bit more expensive than what they had originally planned, but it was just say it was as much as I paid for the motor oil. So then I'm thinking, okay, this is going to solve the problem, especially towing the Jeep. It's a big deal when you're towing the Jeep through any kind of mountains or anything. But so that seems to be, so now it's running great. It runs just fine. The motor's great. Starts right up. Runs like it's supposed to. Seems to have the power it's supposed to have. However, there's something going on with the shifting now. And this has been going on for a while. shifting from second to first, it shifts down really hard. Like sometimes if you're slowing down to a stop sign, it's in second, you're slowing down. It goes to put itself into first gear. It's like, bam, all of a sudden it goes into first gear. And it literally shakes, you know, the whole motorhome is, it's like somebody slammed the brakes on for a second as it's going. It can't be good for the transmission. I'm thinking it's going to, you know, we got to do something here. These components are not designed for that kind of thing. At some point it's going to do it one more, you know, one last time. So I wonder when that one last time is going to be. I'm going to hit the accelerator and nothing's happening because something's broke. So I ended up, I got to figure this out. I'm pretty sure it kind of reminds me of this whole thing of when I couldn't shift out of first gear, they changed that wire and now it's acting weird where when it does go into first gear. But there's also other things, like when I put my foot, like if I'm sitting at a stop sign or stoplight, I put my foot all the way down to the floor, it'll shift from first to second and everything will be kind of normal and it won't shift out a second. If I let off the accelerator a little bit, it'll kind of be a little bit more normal and it'll start shifting right and everything happens. So there's some kind of a disconnect shifting timing thing between the transmission and some kind of sensor. There's something going on there and I don't know what it is. Now, back in '96 when this thing was made, they didn't have that. They weren't very sophisticated about their systems. They weren't all, you know, electronic components as much as there are now. But they did have quite a few, you know, things that they were messing with computer processors and stuff that was back then, very simple ones, but they were mostly electromechanical, but they still had some stuff like that. So there's something going on, and I need to find an expert to figure that out. If any of you know of anybody, you can call me or text me, 812-379-8778. In the meantime, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now that half the show's over, I've got couple things. I'm going to talk about this Jeffrey Epstein thing. Now, personally, I don't care about the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing. Yeah, okay, he is a creep. He's just a guy who, you know, he's dead now, of course. And I don't want to just make light of this. You know, well, he's dead now, so it doesn't matter. Well, because that's what Bill Gates said. Well, but he's dead. He's dead now. Oh, so that's over with. There's a bigger story here. There's something much bigger about this story. And what's bothering me now is the way President Trump is just sloughing it off. And in fact, chastising anybody who wants to ask him about it. There's something more going on here. And I don't get it. I don't understand how it is that something like this is such a big story. That everybody, you know, Epstein was a crook. Obviously, he did some bad things, very bad things, and he disgusting, filthy, dirty things. He was in prison. His female, whatever she was, I don't know what wife, whatever she calls, he calls her, his sidekick, Ghislaine Maxwell, is also in prison. Not just for having, you know, not just for the things they did, but the things that they trafficked. They were involved in trafficking. Now, it's just weird. And in spite of all that, all of a sudden we're supposed to just, there's no list. There's no client list. Nobody knows who he was with. Nobody knows who he dealt with, anything about it. There's all kinds of conspiracy. The news is treating it like it's conspiracy theory stuff. You would think that, oh, it's just a conspiracy theorist. Oh, there's nothing to see here. Then why is Ghislaine Maxwell still in prison? And why was Jeffrey Epstein on trial and in prison and everything else? He died in prison. The biggest question there is, who killed him? I or if anybody did. There's this other theory that he's not alive. That he's not dead. He's actually still alive. Now, there's what's weird here is how some people are. Okay, so the conspiracy theory is not that Jeffrey Epstein did something weird or dumb, or that that he did something nefarious. That we know that. Let me see if I can find this. I think it was a Memeology 101. I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was. It was. Yeah. Here's. Okay. Here I might play some of this because it actually is. This is a guy who. Mike Lawler. He's a representative, I guess. I think he's a Republican. I'm not sure. But it was on the Hill on Sunday, News Nation. The Hill Sunday, I think, is the name of the show. It's not the Hill. The Hill is another channel. News Nation, I think this is. It's an independent thing. I think, and they're asking Mike Lawler this question about Jeffrey Epstein. Listen to what he says here about this.
President Trump said that the allegations in the Jeffrey Epstein files were at least partly fabrications from Democrats, which is why they should not be released. But there are a lot of people in his movement, like Steve Bannon, who say no dice. They want a special counsel. They want everything to come out. What should happen in this Jeffrey Epstein morass?
Listen to his response here.
Listen, I'm probably not the person to ask because I don't speak in conspiracy theory. But at the end of the day, there's a lot bigger issues facing this country than Jeffrey Epstein. The guy is dead and buried. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's what he has to say. Now, everybody's saying, no, that's not the case. No, we're not going to move on. There are bigger issues. That's fine. But this is at the crux of a bigger issue than just Jeffrey Epstein. This is about trust in government. This is about cover-ups. This is about what is going on with everything that's happening here. And we need some explanations as American people. This is a government-run four-oven by the people, not just to keep us in the dark. There are some things that the all-knowing government, as it's proposed to be, there are some things that they have to keep, you know, close to the vest for security reasons, for whatever reasons. This is not one of them. They can give us an explanation. They need to take the time to make this make sense because the American people care about this. Not just because they care about Jeffrey Epstein or anything. There's plenty of other perverts out there that operate on a smaller scale. This guy was rubbing shoulders with some very powerful, important, and largely powerful people. People who had the, you know, were at this... the strings of governments and influence. It's important that we understand who's behind all this and what's going on here. And it has a lot to do with our trust in government, our trust in the FBI, trust in everything else that's going on. And our current administration. Now, the news media is going to play this. The MAGA people are just upset about this. They're ticked off. Steve Bannon for being one of them. There's many other people that are just, they're very upset about it. I'm kind of ticked off about it. Not necessarily, my knowing wouldn't change anything. It's my knowing that would change, it wouldn't change anything outside of myself. It would change my trust in my ability to trust in the administration, the fact that the government can be honest and open and transparent about certain things. And that we have reached a different era. If this happens to never be exposed or anything comes out of this, or there's never an explanation of any of this, other than I have the list is on my desk to review. I'll be looking at it tomorrow. There's no list. Well, there was no desk. Well, there was no office. It's just one thing after another with this thing. But Babylon Bee is having a blast with this. They're coming up with all kinds of crazy things. Unfortunately, the day they come out with something, the next day they get pretty much it's actually news. The next day, Babylon Bee's been more. They don't. When you try to be ironic and sarcastic and parody the news, and all of a sudden you find out your parody is much more pertinent than it's almost mimicking the actual news. And of course, this guy's like, "Well, we just need to move on. This is conspiracy theory. We need to move on. I don't speak in conspiracy theory." No, the conspiracy theory is not the fact that now, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories around this whole thing. One of them is, of course, that this is because he's a Jew, because he's a Mossad. He's this is all about Jews and Israel. And this, Mark Dice has really been on this tirade lately against Israel. And I get it. You can make your point and say that, okay, America is, there are some politicians, and I know AIPAC is a major influence in some of these things. But the news portrays some of this stuff. The news media is going. What the news media is going to do with this is say, "Oh, the MAGA base is all mad at Trump. They're gonna go all after this because people are mad at Trump about not, about what he's saying about Jeffrey Epstein." Now, this is one thing. Now, it doesn't affect, like I was saying, it doesn't affect people in their everyday lives as far as the economy and everything else. It's not, if the economy is good and everything else is running fine and we're cutting down on crime and illegal immigration and all kinds of other things, border secure, everything else is, things are, the Jeffrey Epstein thing doesn't affect our day-to-day life, but it does affect our trust in government. And I think that because people want to know the truth. And it's not just the salacious part of it, but they want to know what's going on here. And I think that to be excused so easily as it is, I don't think it's a good idea. And now is it ticking off the MAGA crowd and the base and some independent? Yeah, absolutely it is. And of course, the left is eating it up. Now they're going to play into this. And then, unfortunately, their side of it is going to be, "Oh, the MAGA base turned on Trump. They turned on Trump. It's time to impeach him because now he's lost his support." No, you don't understand. He hasn't lost his support as president. They just ticked off about one particular issue, and it really isn't a major issue as far as the kind of thing you're going to talk about at your kitchen table. It's kind of like the price of eggs. "Oh, the price of eggs are gone. Well, they're going 3 times. The price of eggs. But there's other food out there. Does everybody just eat eggs? Are we just a nation of egg eaters? I thought that was so weird that everything was just going so nuts about this whole egg thing. Price of eggs. Oh, the price of eggs. That's all you heard about from the left. We have a bird flu. We're killing off chickens and the price of eggs went up. Okay. Maybe eat something else. It's just an opportunity to eat more bacon, I guess. I don't know. It just, the left is going to make a big deal out of this. And unfortunately, they're going to fall into their own trap again because they're going to think that, oh, MAGA's mad. And of course, now they're going to want to, there's all this other stuff too. Speaking of all this kind of rhetoric, people are just off their rocker about the Big Beautiful Bill thing, the BBB. They're talking about all these cuts that are happening. They're not set to go into effect until after the election. And then you read through when everything comes to play, maybe the primary election, but not the actual election in 2026. All this stuff is mostly going to be implemented before 2026. They wanted to get it all done before the 2026, for the 2025 primaries and getting all that stuff done before all the election season starts because it starts in this fall, 2026. So they wanted to get that out of the way. And the other thing is you want to get this stuff done, so that they can't. Now, so try to help me out here. They're saying that all these cuts and everything that happened was the reason for these floods down in Texas. For the deaths and the floods in Texas. And yet the cuts don't happen until after the election. So it's just one of those weird, if they just listen to themselves talk once in a while, they'd probably figure out that, hey, we're talking out of both sides of our mouth and we're not saying anything. But they don't do that. There's no introspect. Like I said, there's no introspect in the left. They have no self-awareness whatsoever. There's no contemplative, no introspect. It's all emotionally charged, whatever is, you know. And once in a while, they make a point, but then they drag it off into la-la land somewhere. Or they just have it wrong. It's like Reagan said. It's not that the that their liberal friends aren't smart. Is it not that they're not smart? It's just there's so much that they know that isn't correct. It's not true. Whatever. There's so much that they know it's not so. I can't remember how he says it. But it's brilliant. I mean, it's because it's true. So I've made some sweet tea today. I made sweet tea, and I've got peaches in it. The peach flavor hasn't come through yet. It's my first cup here. I don't like the peaches that I had thawed out yet. They're frozen fresh peaches that my wife put together. Lovingly puts them in little packages of plastic for me, and puts them in the freezer so I can just pop them out, put them in the thing. And they usually don't, the peach flavor doesn't really come through until they start thawing out a little bit. So probably later today, I'll start tasting peachy. But it's still good sweet tea. I haven't had any sweet tea since last Friday. So anyway, that was Chick-fil-A sweet tea. Side note for all of you. Now, so again, with the media, they're portraying all this stuff as they get things so mixed up. They get things so messed up. And now you're seeing, in my opinion, I don't understand the desire to get. Now, supposedly there's this thing between Dan Bongino, who's the deputy director of the CIA, or not the CIA, the FBI. And then you got Kash Patel, who's the director of the FBI. Now, Kash has been very quiet on this whole thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong about that? Let me. I better double check that because I'm not positive. Current director of the CIA. I don't think it's Kash Patel. Current director of the CIA is John Ratcliffe. Why did I not know that? I thought he was the DIA. I thought he was a DIA guy before that, but apparently he's the CIA director. So, okay, that's interesting. Interestingly enough, I actually trust John Ratcliffe. Maybe I shouldn't, but it's just one of those things where I when I hear the guy talk and everything he says, and I have this feeling that the guy's on the up and up. I think he's trying to make some. I think he's a very quiet individual, but he's also trying to change things from within. So the FBI, I'm pretty sure it's the FBI. It's Kash Patel. Yeah, Kash Patel, February. And of course, Dan Bongino is his deputy director. Yeah. Now, Dan Bongino has threatened to leave he's getting into it, I guess. He's not doing well with Pam Bondi. Now, I have been Pam Bondi. I'm sorry, she's not doing the job. She needs to go. And I don't know what it is about the attorney general job. Trump has had a hard time picking AGs. And it's been very frustrating. When he first had, was it Sessions? I think it was his first AG when they got in there. And of course, he didn't do half what he should have done. He really should have gone. Of course, they accused, you're going to go after your political opponents. And that's exactly what they did with him. But that they, of course, you can't do that. And then, I guess the market is up. Oh, that's interesting. That's kind of unusual. Is that unusual? That's kind of unusual. So it had the second guy in there. Who took over after Sessions? There was an interim, and I actually liked that guy. I thought he was a straight shooter. Seemed to be very aggressive about, you know, doing the right thing. And then we got Bill Barr, who just was an idiot. The guy's an idiot. He's not stupid. He's a very smart man, but he's an idiot. And he's a definite insider, rhino. I would not, I don't think he's a pervert, however he might be. But he's definitely, he's all about himself, first of all, and then he's also about the machine, or the political machine, playing the political game and keeping the deep state, as it were, the bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats, in the know and in the power. And I think Dan Bongino, one of the reasons he's probably having this issue about whether or not he's going to stay in his position, is because he can't keep in mind, when he was a podcaster, when he was when he was himself, he could be himself, very successful in what he was doing in terms of podcasting. And you turn around and he now all of a sudden he can't say what he needs to say. I think he knows more that's going on. He thinks that this whole thing is a clown show. When you have Pam Bondi, they invite these people to the White House, these YouTuber influencer people, folks, these podcasters. They invite them in, they hand them these binders that say Epstein files. They pass them out to all these people. That's how they're going to get the word out there. And it says right on, Epstein files. So they're all walking out with these Epstein files. There was stuff in there that even had redacted stuff that it's been public knowledge. The stuff that was redacted was public knowledge. What in the world are you passing out here? You think we're all stupid? And that's the way it seems. I mean, it makes you look stupid. That's who ends up looking stupid. Trying to dupe us. You're the dupe. And then, then she says, she gets asked this question about, are the Epstein files going to be released? And of course, there's somebody else that was talking about it. I think it was Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck was on some chance. He's being interviewed by somebody, some other podcaster. That's the thing, I guess, these podcasters interviewing each other. And he says, well, in 10 days, you're going to know all about it. It's going to be within the next 10 days, you're going to see that all the stuff's going to be released. That was probably, 3 months ago? Now, I don't know. I don't know necessarily who to believe here, but I know who I can't believe, and that's Pam Bondi. She's not making any sense. She seems to be being pushed around by somebody. And in fact, this whole thing, the way Trump is being aggressively, what's the word? He's very aggressively pushing back on it all. The aggressive nature of all that, to me, seems a little bit crazy. I mean, it seems a little bit, what's the word? Something's amiss here. Something's askew with his over-exuberance to pass it on. Just move on. Stop talking about it. This guy's a creep. Disgusting. It's not time to move on. Why are we still talking about this guy? Well, why is it that just 6 months ago you were all about this? Now all of a sudden you're not. So something is being protected. Something is being covered up. What the reasons are, I have no idea. Now, it could be that there is some kind of threat against not just the president, but maybe the president's family. Maybe there's something else that's going on that we just simply can't. There's some kind of influence that's going on that's, stay away from the subject, stay away from this, stay away from that, whatever it's going to be. I don't know. Trump does not seem to me as one who would back down from anything. Somebody tried to threaten him. However, I'm sure that there's ways of putting somebody in a corner where they realize, hey, this is, and maybe it's, you know, if, for the sake of something good. I don't know. I think there's about a 10% chance of that. 90% chance there's something really bad on the that's not going to affect the nation, but it's also not going to affect it just can't be talked about. I don't know. I really don't know, and I'm not going to speculate any further than that on it at this point. But it is a nagging concern, and I think that the way the media is going to play this, and the way it's going to play out with people in the MAGA crowd, how they're going to, you know, look at this or see this as far as they can stretch it and push it to all kinds of things. So, we shall see how this shall go. But this is where we're at. Did I actually play that? I did actually play that. Hopefully, I played that. The audio of that whole thing. For some reason, I have my mute button on here, and I'm thinking that possibly it didn't play. I'll go back and look. I'll make sure it's on there. If it's not, I'll fill it in. In the meantime, so there you go. I have the week ahead of us. That's what we have. We have Topical Tuesday tomorrow morning. There should be a show. I should be able to have a show pretty early in the morning tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up and walk the dogs real quick and then have my show, I think is what's going to happen. Hopefully this cold will be done. It seems to be much better now than it was. Like I said, I slept really hard on Sunday morning for about 3 hours. I don't remember ever sleeping that hard. It was very, very hard sleep. And I had fun with the puppy. You know, I had fun with the puppy Sunday night. We went swimming, and he loves the water. Come to find out, he just run, you know, swims around. I went underwater. He came chasing after me. All kinds of, it was a blast. But that was kind of fun. So, folks, thanks for listening. God bless you through this week. Hopefully everything goes well. Hope that you're prosperous in everything that you do. And God bless. Take care, folks. See ya.